Heavenly Father, please send your Holy Spirit to work through your word as I proclaim it today so that you can continue to spur us on in that beautiful gift you've given us to read your word, to devour it, to let it be part of who we are so that we can grow in your strength and live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, this week, if you went onto my internet browser and you went through my search history, you'd see a topic come up a few times. Unfortunately, it's not God's word. God's word was in there, but it was grain milling. Do you know about grain milling? Where you grind your own grain for flour. I've been doing a bit of research because Chantel's planted it. No, not Chantel. Sadiqui's not here today, but she's been planting a bug in my brain that I've got to eat more healthy. And one thing that I've always wondered is why we've got this white flour when grain's got all this bran and stuff in it, and why don't we just grind our own grain? So I've been researching my own little flour grain grinder things, and funnily enough, they're all made in Germany, so I've been testing out my German, reading all these German websites about buying a home mill, and I looked up hundreds of websites, and I came up with the fact that my German's not very good, and basically they just blend up, so I'll just put some grain in a blender and see what happens. But it's amazing, the flour, as I was doing this research, you know, the flour that we buy from the shops, it's milled in a way that it stays a long time on our shelves. So we call it flour, but it's not the flour that, God asked the Israelites to pass up as a grain offering, as a flour offering to the Lord. It's not the flour that hundreds and thousands of generations of humans have been eating. It used to grind up the whole grain with the bran on the outside, and there's a little part called the wheat germ. In the process these days, they roll it so the bran flakes off, they sift it out, and the little wheat germ, they sift it out. So we just get the endosperm. It sounds like a weird word, but that's it. That's what we eat, just the main part of the wheat. But we lose all the nutritional value of the bran and the little wheat germ. And but that stuff goes rancid really quick if you leave it in the flour. See, I did lots of reading, didn't I? I ingested all this stuff trying to upskill myself in why I should be doing this. And I planted the seed in Maria's head. I think we should get a grain mill. You know, you've got to work on your wife for a couple of months before you can you can spend 500 euros on a little grinder. So anyway, our modern world, we have this flour because we want things to last on our shelves. We're kind of a fast-paced society, aren't we? We don't have time to grind our own, you know. I wouldn't want to make Maria do it, but get out there with the grinding stone and grind our flour. It's all a bit too time-consuming. So we live in this world where we just take things really quickly, don't we? We want it there and then, and we take it and we use it and we're done. And yet we're stripping ourselves of so much nutritional value in the way that we eat. I should have had Sadiqui preach today. And I bring this up because I think this fast-paced nature of the way that we do life, the way that we ingest information, is so radically different from any other generation. If you looked at how much information you took on this week. So I sat there on my computer researching websites from all over the world. I had all this information at my fingertips. Not only that, but listening to podcasts, checking out all the e-news coming to my email folder, listening to radio. I don't know how many hours of information I took on board. And within that, I don't know, I'm a bit ashamed to say that out of maybe, 300 hours, maybe I spent 2 hours reading God's word. In today's society, our intake of God's word compared to everything else that we're hearing and taking in is probably very little. And I want to address that. I want to stir us up. I need to stir myself up in this, because it's incredible. As we hear God's word, as we read it, as we listen to the psalmist proclaim how good it is to get into God's word, it makes me wonder why we don't get into it as much as I'd spend time looking up grain mills on the internet or checking out the weather on the weather station. It's a bit embarrassing. God knows that we need the goodness of his word. He's told a few prophets to go and eat his word because they need to ingest it, take it into their lives. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Ezekiel, of course, was given the mandate, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And it goes on. And then in Revelation, John has a similar experience, doesn't he? I think it's, Revelation 10. "I went to an angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, 'Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will taste as sweet as honey.' I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and I ate it. It was sweet in my mouth and sour in my tummy." God knows his word needs to be taken on, needs to be part of us. Not just some surface thing, something that we have up on the wall and say, "Oh, isn't that a nice verse for the day?" We actually need to take it into ourselves. Eating food's easy. We've got a mouth to do that. But reading God's word, letting it form part of who we are, takes a little bit more effort, I think. Doesn't seem to have the same outward effects as if you don't eat for a day. How many people here have gone without food this week for a day? In fact, I can't even remember the last time I went a day without food, but there's probably a few times in the last week that I didn't get into God's word one day. It's all around me. Even as a pastor, I've got my Bibles everywhere. But it's amazing, you know, taking kids to school, doing the pickup, getting to church, making sure Betty's doing all the right work, ringing people, making sure everyone's okay, baking cakes, making sure my grain mill research is going okay. It's amazing how God's word sometimes doesn't even turn up in my day. But it's important for us. It's important for our health. Luther had this wonderful little saying. He said, you know, if someone came up for the cure for any disease, you know, a magical cure that could cure anything, there'd be people lining up around the street for miles with their life savings. They'd pay anything for that cure, wouldn't they? And yet we know that in God's word, we have the words of eternal life. So many parts of Scripture that tell us how good God's word is for us. I've got a few. You know, that God's word is truth. John 17:17 says, Jesus is saying to his disciples, "Sanctify them in the truth. The word is truth." Hebrews 4:12 tells us the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is active. It works. It does stuff to us that nothing else can. God's word's eternal. We hear that in Psalm 119. You could have read the whole of Psalm 119, Gloria. It wouldn't have mattered which verses you picked up. It all talks about God's word. But verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Jesus reaffirms that. Mark 13:31. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It comes with a guarantee too. God's words come with a guarantee. For as the, this is from Isaiah 55, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose it, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. You know, when you go to the supermarket and you're going down the breakfast cereal aisle and you're trying to work out what cereal should I try, I'm getting a bit sick of those Fruit Loops. And they've got the star ratings on it. Have you seen the star ratings? It gives you 1 to 5 stars depending on how healthy it is. And so, of course, if you want to... Gaby's got other opinions on that, but that's all right. Every system's a bit limited. But basically, the more stars, the more healthy. So if you're going for a healthy option, you pick the 5-star one, don't you? Well, God's word comes with 1 billion stars. It's so good for us. We know it. It has so many benefits for our lives. And yet, you know, when we look at Facebook for 3 hours on end, when we get stuck looking up the grain mills on the internet or whatever you might be researching in your life, when you're digesting the news that's coming in, what kind of health star rating does all those things have? Some of them are better for you than others, but seriously, 3 hours on Facebook probably won't do much for your eternal life. So we know all this. We know that God's word is good for us. We know all these other sources, the news. We get addicted to it, though. Those magazines, surfing the net, listening to the radio. These things don't bring us eternal life. They don't have the power of God's Holy Spirit working through them to work in us. But they do. We do ingest them. How many people start fearing about the state of the world when they hear the news reports have puffed everything up? They're a bit like the milling of the grain. They've stripped everything from the news reports except the sensationalized bits that they think will suck you in and make you feel like, oh, the world's a terrible place. All these forms of information we take in, the advertising, we've got to realize that it doesn't have the truth. Jesus spoke against it. He said to his disciples, you're going to hear rumors of wars. You're going to hear about wars. But don't worry. The end is yet to come. Jesus Christ spoke his truth into the world. He was always pointing to something bigger than the things that the world was tapping itself into. The rumors, the fears that people were living in, Jesus continued to point them to the word of truth, pointing them to himself. We heard in our John reading today that Jesus pictured himself as the bread of life, the food that people need to devour, to eat, to sustain them, to give them eternal life. It's the bread of life that we receive in communion. Unfortunately, we're not receiving that today. It's also the life that we receive from his word. When we get into it, when we read it, when we let it sit on our hearts and minds, when we let that reflect out of who we are, like Ray and Shez and Rosaline are at the moment in the face of death, as Pam and Jury are, as we all are, I pray, as we face up to this world of that needs the hope that comes only from knowing God's word. We can go to many places looking for hope. I checked out so many websites. I'm milling grain because I feel like if I have that whole grain in my life, I'm going to be much better off in life. But after that John reading, you know, the Jews basically left Jesus. They couldn't handle the thought of eating Jesus' body and blood. And he turned to his disciples and said to them, do you want to leave too? Are my words too hard for you? And Peter didn't say, look, Jesus, everything you say is really easy. We're okay with it. He just said this. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In Jesus, we have the words of eternal life. When sickness, when our health would tell us that the end is near, we can go to the words of eternal life and hear that we're more than this worldly life that we'll live. In Jesus Christ, we have been given salvation in his name. We are eternal people. But it's only through reading God's word and letting that sink in and be part of us that we can claim that in our lives. You know, it's a no-brainer going to God's word, but it's amazing how this world tells us that we don't have enough time or energy or if it's too hard to understand. So my encouragement to you as a community, let's get into God's word together. Let's keep meeting together to read it. I struggled for years getting into God's word. I had a Bible beside my bed. My mum would send me reading plans. I'd open it up and I'd, you know, it was like eating kale for the first time. Apparently there's this wonderful leaf. Man, it's tough to eat. Kale's apparently real good for you, but man, it's not easy to get into, I can tell you. But God's word is a bit like that, but doing it together, sitting down, having someone experienced in God's word to be able to bring out the goodness that they've experienced through it. I think it's so important. If you're not part of a small group, a Bible study group, I encourage you in this next season, we're going to want to start up. I want to see everyone involved in doing that. It doesn't have to be a big, complicated group. It could be meeting up for a coffee and reading God's word together. How great would that be? While other people are gossiping about their lives and what's going on, you're sitting there with God's word, reading it to another Christian and digesting a bit of caffeine and the words of eternal life. How good is it? So many things in life will be outdated and lose its nutritional value. God's word will never change. Will continue to speak to every generation. Will keep nourishing Christians for here and forevermore. We need to pass this on to our children. We need to keep living it in our lives. I keep hoping that kale and bran and wholemeal grained flour will save me, but none of those things will really matter in the end. What really matters is that I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I have him in my life, the Holy Spirit resides in me, and that I keep feeding this relationship with his holy word that encourages me, keeps growing me. My encouragement for you then is to think about it, get into it, don't overlook it, don't pig out on the chips and chocolate and ice cream, you know, the information of the world. Sit down to a healthy meal of God's word every day and let it have all those benefits that you've talked about. You know it, live it, do it, let Jesus Christ live through you. So in summary, the word that was in the beginning, the word that created this world, that made flesh, that gave shape and power to everything that we know, it's the word that came in Jesus Christ. His word continues to have meaning for our lives. It continues to revive us, to renew us, to revitalize us, to refresh us, to restore us. His word continues to create us in his image. Every time we read it, digest it, the word changes us. It draws us back to who we are in Christ. And so, I pray that the word of God may continue to resound in your lives in ways that will lead you to eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing that we don't always get into God's word as we should, your pastor has confessed that he spent more time looking up grain mills this week than possibly working on his sermon. So I ask you, let's confess together. Let's come before our Lord and confess our sins. Loving Heavenly Father, give us a daily hunger for your word that we may be strengthened to life eternal. We commit our lives to your word, O God. Help us to grow in faith and love towards you so that we might always live in trust and hope. We commit our lives to your word, O God. Center us in routines that keep us close to you, O Lord. Center us in weekly worship. We commit our lives to you, O Lord, O Lord. Lord, center us in daily prayer. We commit our lives to your word, O Lord. Center us in knowledge of Holy Scripture. We commit our lives to your word, O God. Center us in the mission of the church. Commit our lives to your word, O God. And center us in lives of thankful giving and loving for all the blessings which you have bestowed upon us. We commit our lives to your word, O God. By your word, O Lord, guide our lives, forgive our sins, inspire our thoughts, shape our attitudes, lighten our darkness, give us eternal hope, and fill our hearts with joy, assuring us of your constant presence until you bring us at last into the glories of your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.